Hey friends, you're tuning in to Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to Wisdom with Wit. And I am excited about today's podcast episode. I had the chance to go with my friends to Lake Arrowhead, and it was like just really what I needed. Lots of laughing, too much food, beautiful scenery. It was just amazing. And since we were all together, I cajoled them, listen to my vocabulary, into joining my conversation that we have been having this week as Wisdom and Wellness community about self-compassion. And I think there's a lot of different ideas around this idea of self-compassion. I know it's a popular topic in wellness spaces. And then when you go into Christian spaces, it can maybe be a little bit like, no, like nothing about that is biblical. I need to keep myself accountable. I need to make sure that I am, you know, staying on the straight and narrow, because that's how I think God sees and looks at me and expects from me. And, you know, there's a lot that we can mislabel when it comes to this idea of self-compassion. So first and foremost, I want to say, you know, we're talking about biblical self-compassion. What does it actually mean to receive the love that God has for us as we turn inward on ourselves? Because all of us have this inner voice that we're listening to 24/7. And oftentimes when we are not focused and staying in the word, and when we don't know what God says about us, we will often create our own narratives around ourselves that are complete opposite of what God thinks of us, who he has called us to be, who he's created us to be. So, I just think this is an important conversation for believers to be having, because when we say have self-compassion, it just doesn't mean, you know what, I'm just gonna learn how to love myself more without realizing we can't love ourselves more without really being able to receive and accept the love of Jesus first and foremost. And we have to know what his love is and what it says. So enjoy this conversation with myself, Don Jackson, and Hillary Holmes. In Lake Arrowhead, and I have cajoled, forced, manipulated,
threatened
my friends Don and Hillary to join in on this live with me. You cannot see my beautiful friend Paloma, but she is in the background, and she is getting just some phenomenal BTS of this. This is we're here in Lake Arrowhead, and because we were wanting just to have just some time away.
Yeah.
Because life has been a little crazy. So we were like, oh, we're going to come rest. And then we're like, also, can we film this and record this and do this?
It's a content-heavy couple days.
But before we get into it, today, Dawn's podcast, This Wayfaring Life, the three of us have a conversation all about how to get unstuck.
Unstuck.
And noticing when you're actually stuck. Which we all have been at some point in our life. So if you want to check her out at
Run Don Jackson.
I know that. At Run Don Jackson, and her podcast is This Wayfaring Life.
Yeah, thanks.
Woo. Yes. So today we are going to talk about this idea of self-compassion, and I wanted them to join in on this. Also, can we just talk about the cute fire in the background?
Yes.
Oh, and the hat.
Oh, yeah. Can we run the hat currently being transformed? Come on, praise God. Talking about this idea of self-compassion, because I think it's really, really important when it comes to learning how to reduce and minimize not only our chronic pain symptoms, but even just like emotional pain, anxiety, all of these different kinds of things that we all navigate as a part of the human experience. And so we were talking about it a little bit earlier, because I feel like even as a believer, I can sometimes look down. We were just talking about this, like this term self-compassion is kind of like, I don't know. I'm like, okay, I don't need to learn how to love myself more.
in a sense. I need to learn how to receive the love of God more to be able to hear his voice deeper. And I think there, somewhere in the middle, I think is like where I sit and like I think where the goodness is, because Colossians 3:12, it says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it talks about how when we shame and judge and hold ourselves to these unattainable standards, is that more holy or more biblical, and I put out a post this week. I put out talking about, I think a lot of times we think that accountability and self-hatred are like one in the same. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you guys, but because I definitely have noticed there's been times in my life where I'm like, you knew better. What the heck were you thinking? Mm-hmm. This is why you shouldn't be in leadership. This is why you shouldn't be a worship leader. This is why you don't deserve, to be XYZ, because I think I'm holding myself more accountable when really all I was doing was like bashing myself and hating on myself. And God was like, this is not healthy accountability. Like, this is you just allowing the enemy and programmed thoughts and patterns, habitual patterns that I've developed over time to just kind of run their course over and over. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever noticed that? Like, I don't know. It can be a hard thing to navigate, realizing like what is actually accountability and then what is like, okay, I'm literally just dumping on myself.
Yeah, I think it's like just becomes so easy to beat up on ourselves, almost shame ourselves.
Right.
And whereas, and I face that at times, but I think accountability is so much more of a healthy space to be in. In that, I tie a lot of things in. You guys know I tie a lot of things into racing and stuff like that, and running and everything like that. And so accountability is knowing there's people waiting for me to show up, so I do make it at 6 a.m. for that run. Accountability is that they push me, but it's all to bring out the best in me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, how easy though I do, like I've fallen into it so many times when those different thoughts come up and they just become limiting as opposed to life-giving.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so good. I like that. Bringing the best out of ourselves. Because I think sometimes we think, I was listening to a speaker talk a couple weeks ago, and she was talking how a lot of times we will pre-grieve a situation that we think is going to go badly.
Wow.
So it's like we'll pre-judge, pre-shame, and then we'll also catastrophize, thinking like it's going to be the worst case scenario. So we're not even setting ourselves up at all in any way, shape, and form for like success, because it's like I'm gonna suck, I'm gonna choke, I actually don't even deserve to be doing whatever opportunity I've been given. God missed out on something in me. He didn't give me whatever it is I needed to like really be capable to do whatever it is that I'm doing. And so it's like I think a lot of times we become so much more familiar with this critical voice and like this self-bashing voice sometimes than even the voice of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've really had to recognize that and notice how not only imperative, obviously it is for our physical life, our emotional lives, our spiritual lives, mental, all of that, but even just our physical lives when it comes to handling acute and chronic pain, right? Mm-hmm. Looking through like what is that critical voice and how do we develop that? And I think there's a powerful statement by a therapist. His name's Brad Yates. And he talks about how self-sabotage is actually this misguided self-love.
Hmm.
And I think it's a powerful statement because there have been different studies showing how people who are the most critical of themselves, they believe that first, and I shouldn't even say they, we believe, I believe that if I am so hard on myself, it's going to motivate me to be better. But I also think that's like such like religion too, right? When you think about like, it's all about the works and it's all about like making sure I do X, Y, Z to make sure I'm like acceptable for God's love, which is such a slippery slope. But when we think about self-sabotage being this misguided love, when we look at it from a perspective of our brain and our nervous system. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have learned how to wire, not even learned, but we've taught our brains to deeply ingrain these thought patterns over time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's been like self-talk that we've just learned and like, you know, developed for ourselves. Some of us, it has been that the people around us have spoken that to us.
Right.
And we've internalized it, right? Whether it was, you know, caregivers or people that we really trusted and respected, teachers, right? I feel like we hear a lot of people when they make it, they're like, you know, so-and-so said I was never gonna, you know, get out of the town I lived in or whatever. And it's like, look what I, you know, look what I proved to you, right? And so we just have these narratives of these really critical voices running in our heads. And we were talking about Chris Vallotton, who is a preacher and speaker and author. And he talks really well about EQ, which is like our emotional health and our emotional quotient, right? And talking about how when we're learning thought patterns over time, the way that our brain is designed and the way that it is categorized is that we take functions of our brain to help form these thoughts that we wire and fire over time, right? So when you think about like, excuse me, like when we, you know, first learned, when you first learned how to run.
Yeah.
Like, obviously you had to, there were thoughts forming in your head, teaching your body like how to run and then how to run better and like how to run more efficiently, right? To where you got to a point where your brain wasn't like, okay, this is how I run. This is how I run fast. It became such this like deeply ingrained neural pathway where your neurons are constantly firing and wiring. This is how we run.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. We think about that. Like right when we learned how to eat, when we learned how to talk when we were kids. But when it comes to our thought life, our brain does the very same thing with the thoughts that we're having over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And I think there's absolutely the spiritual component, right, when it comes to mental health. And I think there's absolutely a lot of areas where we need to confess maybe for, you know, the areas where we've allowed things to, you know, enter into our minds that maybe we weren't necessarily supposed to be involved with, right? Talking about the power of, like, confession and repentance and giving our brains, even our minds, like, you know, in the morning I confess to God, I'm like, my mind belongs to you. Like, I have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Which is an important conversation, you know, in itself. I keep having to cough. But then when we look at it from, you know, a, thank you so much to my, my assistant, Paloma. But then when we think about it from like this neuroscience perspective, I think a lot of times I have shamed myself for not being able to get out of certain thought patterns and spirals.
Yeah.
And what I do, I don't know about y'all, but like what I do is I'm like, oh my gosh, why can't you stop, you know, hating your body? Yeah. Like you should be wise enough. You should be a strong enough Christian to learn, like, I need to move on from these thoughts and just I need to just love myself. Yeah. It's time to just love myself because God loves me. It's time to love myself. Mm-hmm. But when I've been living years of this thought going through my brain, I hate my body. I hate my body. I hate my body. It's created mental real estate in my brain. So I can't just be like, no, I don't hate myself. I love myself. And I'm going to walk away and fully believe it. It's like I have to now retrain my brain and actually free up some of that real estate.
Yeah.
Like I got to put the for sale sign up and I got to begin to build in habits and discipline on creating thoughts that are going to now create these new neural pathways.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it's crazy in science. They used to think that our brains were static. They didn't think that we could actually like they thought the structure of the brain from the moment you're born, like that's what you're given. Mm-hmm. But we've learned even just like with growing intelligence and the way like our brain is plastic, so it can be rewired and reshaped in tremendous ways. Mm-hmm. And so I think so many of us go through different thought patterns. I had a thought work coach tell me once, like a lot of times we think many different thoughts, but it's four or five thoughts just like dressed up in different outfits.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of times like a lot of us really struggle with, you know, self-worth.
Yeah.
And we might give different names to these phrases. You know, like I don't like my body. I don't like my work ethic. I don't like how I look, you know. And all of these are kind of, they come down to like self-worth, you know, in there. But then there are other types of thoughts, you know, I don't think I'm enough. I know for me, I mean, one that I'm working on and processing is just like, I don't know if I have enough to do what God is wanting me to do. I don't know. Do you guys ever feel that way? That you're like, I don't know if it's just me. Sometimes, like, honestly, I'm just like, Lord, I don't know if you gave me what's required to fulfill what you're asking me to do.
I felt that way before. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, what the heck? Like, how am I supposed to be able to do these things?
Right.
Because you see other people flowing in those, whatever those different gifts are, and it just looks so natural.
Right.
And it's hard for us to see ourselves flowing like that as well.
Yeah,
that they have something special on them that maybe isn't on us.
Right.
You know?
Right. And it's so interesting that we, like, develop. It's so funny because I think about the way that I view myself versus the way that, like, other people view me. And it's so interesting sometimes to get such a complete different perspective.
Yeah.
We were talking about a scenario a few weeks ago and just my entire interpretation of this encounter had to do with the individual thinking like I wasn't good enough. And it was like so helpful to get like y'all's perspective because I was like, oh, I think this is like this person's trauma and like them dealing with like, they don't necessarily, I don't know. Not that they don't think they're good enough, but it has more to do with them than it does with me. And I found it being really helpful. And I mean, we've talked about this, you know, in your podcast, like the power of allowing people to speak into your life.
Yes.
Because that is one way that we can really begin to retrain, you know, the thoughts that we have.
Well, we live with ourselves 24/7, right? So we see everything and all of that. And then, of course, and you hear people talk about this all the time, the IG world, the social media world, everybody's life looks all beautiful and great. And but the reality is that that's not reality.
Right.
And so we don't see them in all their different moments. And so sometimes it's even good just to get around when you get around different people and you begin to understand that they've had doubts and they've had insecurities and they've had as well, so that you're really not in a different boat than they are.
Yeah. Right.
If you can just, you know, if we can just all be real and talk about it and be honest.
Right.
And which then helps, I think, to embolden us, to encourage us to go ahead and step out. And what is failure anyway, if it's not actually just learning?
If it's not just learning.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, we create these fake, I don't know, unattainable milestones. And then it's like, oh my gosh, I'm such a failure. I didn't start a new business and make $7 million and buy one of the houses we were looking at in Arrowhead because, you know, and I'm like, wow, I'm such a failure. But it's like, I'm not even like creating realistic standards like for my life. I'm comparing myself to, you know, somebody else. But when you guys have realized like you've gotten in these like thought spirals, like has there been anything, I'm putting them on the spot, has there been anything that you have found helpful in learning how to get out of that place? Like, because I've gone in, and we can call it depression, but I've gotten in real intense funks because literally the thoughts I'm thinking 24/7 are, I'm never going to do anything with my life. Like, this is how it's going to be all the time, you know? And it feels very truthful and very real to me because it's only my perspective that I have. And in the funk, it feels 100% truth. You know?
I don't know. You got something hill in that, or?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'd say more than, like, not feeling like I have what I need to do what I'm doing. It's more the thoughts that I get berated with are, like, I don't belong, or I don't fit in this group, or I have nothing to contribute, or, it's more, like, a relational fear.
Yeah.
And so for me, what's really healed that is putting myself, which is the hardest thing to do, putting myself in positions to be around people and train my brain, like, actually, I do have something to contribute, and you two have helped a lot with that, of like, you know, you have a voice, and and that's the hardest thing to do, because it feels so unsafe to put yourself in a place where you're confronting your fear.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it could confirm what your fear is.
It's that part. Right. Yeah. I think the biggest fear is like us actually being confronted by our biggest fear is real. Which, like, probably 99.5% of the time it's not.
Right.
Yeah.
but it's like, yeah, we've only been believing the perspective we've been thinking like consistently. So it's like, oh my gosh. And then we get into the spiral. We were talking about this a little bit today of just like, how freeing would it be as like believers? We like entered with like the worst part of who we are, like at first, like obviously that's its own conversation, but just like, hey, I suck at X, Y, and Z. Love you. What about you? What do you struggle with this week? Like, I think if we actually all even realize too, like how much we all struggle with the same types of thoughts and insecurities.
Yeah.
I think one way in which the enemy really tries to like pigeonhole us is to think like, I am so special for how messed up I am.
Right.
And then it's like my trash and my, you know, crap that I'm trying to keep hidden is like so exceptionally awful that there's no way I could share it with people because nobody has any clue what it is that I'm going through because I am so bad, you know, and like nobody, I doubt anybody else ever thinks like these kinds of thoughts. And then, I mean, isn't it so freeing when you like start to hear people say the things that you think?
Yeah.
I remember on one of our trips, like we were both saying we were feeling a similar way of like, I don't know if I really like belong. Mm-hmm. And like both of us were like, are you kidding me?
Right.
What? Like, get out of here. Yeah. You know, we didn't say that to each other, but.
Not get out of here. Yeah, right.
Yeah, not get out of here. Please stay. Please stay. Right. Yeah. But just I think the power of like realizing like we all are like, we struggle in similar areas.
Yeah, we do.
And
yeah,
it makes it more.
It takes away the shame around it.
It takes away the shame.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not quite, it doesn't have to be this like secret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is powerful. But I think, you know, another component to why self-compassion is important, obviously, not just for emotional and mental health, but for our physical health as well. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times when we're struggling, you know, especially when it comes to chronic pain, right? Our brain and our nervous system are so used to these habitual thought patterns and even habits that we have created. So a lot of times, especially, and I know, you know, all of us have gone through our bouts of different like physical stuff. You know, the first thing that happens when we get pain is like, oh my gosh, what did I do? What's wrong? Mm-hmm. Ah, did I eat something? Oh my gosh, did I... You know, did I go too hard yesterday? Oh my gosh, when I was running, did I maybe push it a little bit? You know, when I was lifting, did I, you know, all of these kinds of things. And we so quickly go like inward towards, I did something wrong.
Yeah.
So then we put the pressure on ourselves to be like, okay, now I have to fix it. And we go through this like, if I don't fix it, you know, I'm never gonna get better. And it's my responsibility because I'm broken. I broke myself. Maybe God created me a little bit incomplete to where my body is a little bit more delicate than other people, right? And it's like we go down, you know, just this cycle of starting to trash ourselves, right? And I think, you know, it's so important for our brain and nervous system. Like for me, for the longest time, I have just been in such battle with my body. Like there's been my life and then there's been my body. And I have really treated it like it's your fault that I hate my life. Like, it's your fault my life is this bad, you know. Wow. Like, I'm encountering everything I am because of you.
Wow.
And so, you know, none of that breeds, like, healing.
Right.
Right? Like, none of that is like, okay, Whitney, like, we're going through a lot. And this is not what we thought was going to happen. This is really hard. This is really painful. And actually learning how to like sit with ourselves and create compassion because number one, God isn't looking at us like, how dare you? Like, wow, you went really hard today at the gym. Like, how dare you? You know, or like, oh my gosh, like you stayed up late. Wow. Like you're not living a disciplined life. Like it sounds intense, but I mean, my brain goes there. And then a lot of times, too, when it comes to physical stuff, like, our identity is wrapped around it, too.
Yes.
So when I first injured myself in water polo, I tore my rotator cuffs. I was like, what the heck? How could you do that? Like, you're smarter than that. You know better than that. Like, you're supposed to be good at this. Like, this is supposed to be your future. You idiot. How could you do this? How could you ruin your life?
Yeah.
Like, those kinds of things, right? And all of that is telling our brain and our nervous system that something is inherently wrong with who we are.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I'm telling my body, you're bad.
Yep.
And what my brain and my nervous system are hearing are, oh my gosh, wow. Like, okay, what we think pain is you know, a consequence for doing something bad, right? But a lot of times, especially when it comes to chronic pain in our body, it's actually our brain trying to be our best friend and being like, oh, yeah. Okay, you're saying that this is really dangerous, because every time you swim, you know, the thoughts going through your head are like, you better not suck today, you better not hurt yourself, like, make sure you swim in a certain way, like, and we're so hypervigilant to, like, be really perfect that our brain is like, okay, I'm going to assist you, and I'm actually going to help you, because whatever it is that you're doing is really dangerous and really scary. And the way that our brain and our nervous system does that is by creating pain and sensations. Our brain sends signals to our body to say, whatever you're doing is not good, so please stop and get to safety immediately. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, I've shared my story many times, but safety for me was in bed or, you know, on the couch, isolated by myself in a dark room, not moving, because I thought movement was the thing that was ruining, you know, my life. And then when fibro and all of those kinds of things came with autoimmune disease, I was like, I just keep missing something. I'm clearly, it's me and I'm doing something wrong, right? And then even just internally, when it's like, okay, my cells are attacking each other. Wow, like, yeah. What kind of life was I creating to, you know, create this environment in my body where my cells want to attack each other? Yeah. Like, they don't even want to function in this body. Why would I? Mm-hmm. You know, and again, it's just these signals that we're creating in our brain. Mm-hmm. And 24/7, I'm in fight or flight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so some of the ways in which we can start to turn down the pain is to actually learn, first of all, this bird needs to calm down, is we learn how to actually sit in our pain. Yeah. And we actually have to first become aware of these thoughts that we're choosing to believe. I think a lot of us don't even know the thoughts that we're like partnering with, essentially, right? Yeah.
Yep.
And I had a thought work coach who just said all the time, awareness precedes change. Mm-hmm. And so something that was really powerful for me was to start just being aware of these thoughts that I was having.
So good.
And she, you know, created the analogy of like, sometimes when we go up into the attic and we turn the light on and we're like, oh my gosh, like there's all these boxes and cobwebs and just junk laying around, like this is way too much. And how we do it is we just start like box by box. Right? And it's like, okay, I'm recognizing today as I'm in pain, I am pointing the finger at myself and I'm intensifying this feeling of failure, right? So the purpose of becoming aware of our thoughts is then we can take them captive, right? Which is just so biblical. But then we can get into our bodies and we can actually feel like, what does shame feel like in my body? Right? We think it's mental all the time, but what we're not realizing is our body is just an extension of our brain. Mm-hmm. And so our body feels everything that our mind feels.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so our brain and our nervous system are literally just asking for like some safety.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so ways in which we can do that, and I talk about, you know, this a lot in different podcast episodes and through my courses and my ebook, is we have to start turning that danger signal down.
Yes. Yeah.
We have to start creating safety in our body. We have to start allowing ourselves to receive not only God's love, which is first and foremost, but we're not going to believe, you know, his love if the lens in which we're looking through everything is through this like self-hatred and self-deprecation and all of this. So it's taking the love of God and who he calls me to be, what he has spoken over us. It's partnering with it and saying, I agree, right? Because he's also given us free will.
Right.
So he can say all he wants, but I can say that's fine. But, you know, I know you created the earth, but like you messed up with me, you know, which we can laugh about. But I think a lot of times there's been so many of us at different points in our life are like,
yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure you meant to do that, Lord? And then we learn how to partner and realize like, okay, some of these self-hatred thoughts that I'm believing are literally because I have trained my brain to believe them.
Yeah.
And so there's different techniques that we can do in which I talk about through somatic tracking as well as we've been getting really excited about, you know, tapping and learning how to uproot some of these thoughts that have become so ingrained in our bodies, and then replacing them with the Word of God and with thoughts that are loving towards ourselves, compassionate towards ourselves. Like Colossians says, they're kind. We're patient with ourselves, right? We're not creating this bar that is like way too high for us to reach, right? But we're like, everybody else is like, y'all got this, but you know, the standard for me is here. Which is never ever attainable. But I just think it's so powerful that when we partner with God's truth, it actually begins to heal our body from a cellular level, which is just so like God. For him to be like, hey, I need you to meditate on my word day and night, because not only does it heal your brain, not only does it heal your soul and your heart and your thoughts, but like it literally heals disease and dysfunction in the body. So,
it's amazing.
It is amazing, right?
Exactly.
It's so good. Any other thoughts?
I was just going to say on that, on the safety piece of like our brains and our bodies, like we crave safety. I know for me, a lot of times, like in my emotions or thoughts that I'm feeling, it's like I've believed that that is what's keeping me safe. So like if I release that thought or if I release this feeling, something about it in my mind doesn't feel safe. So it's totally. Like for me, just an example would be like I was feeling anger towards someone and I realized I didn't want to release it because then maybe that person could hurt me if I let that go down. And so just saying to myself, I'm safe to release this anger, like that helped so much. But like same, you know, about my thoughts of feeling like I don't have anything to contribute. Like it's safe to release that belief. And then declare over myself, actually, no, like... So really I think that safety is really key.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's so good. I think so many of the things that we do are out of self-protection. Like all of these habits and these thoughts that we formed are literally because we think this is the safest option for me, right? Like, you know, we always talk about it, like, I'm going to keep people at a distance because it's safest for me to, you know, not be vulnerable and not be in a place where somebody can take, you know, my heart and crush it. So I'm just going to go ahead and stay at a distance. Like all of that is like, we think that we are loving and protecting ourselves the most, which can be some of the most self-destructive, you know, thoughts and habits that we create. Which is,
You know, I was thinking on that safety piece too. I was just recently actually did a podcast on that, just in the sense of like, where is the safest place to actually be? And like for me, sometimes on some of the things that God has called me to do, And you just feel like, God, are you sure? And just like, how do I know? Like, you know, how many times I got, I was like the kid at the end of the diving board that would never dive. Like I kept walking to the end of the board and then back and then back. It's like, you know, and God, and part of it was like, maybe I'm not ready yet, or it's not good enough yet. You know, I need more, I need to work on this more, or whatever it is. Timing's not, all these different things. And it really came down to, you know, God was asking me to do it. It was more of an obedience thing. So then it was like, you know what, regardless, let the, whether it's good enough or let like what other people think about it and all of that, let that just go as much as you can to let that just go. And it's just like, okay, God's asked me to step into that. And so to be released, I'm stepping out because it's an obedience piece, because the safest place is actually staying in his presence. And so this is the direction he's going and the direction he's leading me. All right, I'm going to go here. I don't necessarily feel always competent or qualified or all those different things. And I can get those different thoughts that want to cause me to freeze. But at the end of the day, it's, Lord, are you happy with the decision I made just to go ahead and take that next step? And it's piece by piece, right? I mean, it's intentional piece by piece, because when you're talking about reprogramming your thoughts, like, and all of that, that just doesn't happen overnight. It's intentional. And being intentional, it takes time. And so it's every day. And energy. And you know, and we've talked about this a lot. It's celebrating the small wins. You know what? That was a small win. Oh, but that wasn't. Don't down talk it. That was a small win. Let's celebrate the small wins.
Which is so good, because it is. You have to train yourself to think that way. Because we're so geared to be like, all right, well, I, you know, I didn't hit this goal this week. I didn't do this. I didn't do all of that. And it's like, man, can we give ourselves a little bit of a break sometimes?
Yes.
You know, and even, you know, you saying that when it comes back to, you know, teaching our brain how to be safe, creating moments of like joy and little moments of pleasure are ways in which we can start to turn the amygdala, like
really
the fear
good.
Center of our brain down. It doesn't even have to be like, you know, a full day. It can be a minute of, you know, taking time and noticing. Like I, you know, in the morning, I, and I've talked about this before, but like I dramatize my morning coffee. Like, and the reason I do that is because I'm sitting into all of those good sensations. Because again, even on a physiological level, when we're in pain, we teach our brain and our focus to always go to where the pain is. So when we're teaching our brain, there's actually places in our body that are safe. There's places that are neutral, and there's actually ways we can have these like enjoyable experiences little by little, just like piece by piece. We're kind of turning that notch down and we're saying, hey, like enjoy the smell of the coffee. Maybe that doesn't mean, you know, the migraine goes away, but it's like, hey brain, we can actually fix our attention on the warmth and the feel and the smell, and we can like enjoy it. And we're teaching our brain we can turn the fear down when it comes to this pain, because we're not just trying to get rid of the pain. We're trying to turn our fear down of these pain and sensations that we experience. The short term is decreasing the fear. The long term is in the pain starts to decrease as well. And I know that can be hard for some of us when we're experiencing, you know, chronic pain and different things, because we're like, no, but like something's wrong with my body, so I need to really obsess and hyperfixate and be really concerned about it. When really the gold in all of it is learning how to say, okay, I'm feeling something in my body, but I'm actually not going to be fearful of it. I'm going to assume a curiosity and more of like an exploration around like, I wonder why, like, that's so interesting that my head's hurting right now. And looking at it through this lens of I'm not in danger.
Yep.
And it's almost saying, hey brain, like if you're going to send this headache, that's fine. Cause I don't care. Like, because it doesn't mean anything about me, and it all, I'm not scared of it.
Yeah.
And oftentimes when we start to create these, you know, in pain psychology, we call them corrective experiences. Like the moment I start to realize, oh, like I can actually think about my headache, but I'm not like freaked out about it. I'm like, oh, all right, that's fine. We create these corrective experiences. That's when the brain starts to learn, okay, all right, we can kind of start to slow down. We can start notching down, you know, this fear that we have towards these sensations. So self-compassion is just key.
Yes.
It is key. It's not like this mumbo jumbo, you know, I know in spirituality and like a lot of these things, it's like, you know, we really got to learn how to love ourselves and our higher self first, you know, all of those things. It's like, no, we just need to kind of like take the gas off a little bit of like these self-sabotaging and like self-hatred, you know, thought patterns and thoughts, and say, no, I'm going to fix my eyes on the truth, and my body and, you know, my sensations and all of that are going to follow.
Yep.
And it's just, I mean, miraculous, I think, what can happen in our body when we actually start to agree with God's truth, and then also begin to look at, you know, our pain and our sensations through a lens of curiosity, and we turn that fear level down.
Yep.
So amazing. Thanks, guys, for joining us. Thanks, Dawn and Hillary, so much for sitting
Thank you for the invitation.
Are you hot sitting in front of the fireplace?
No, this is okay. Toasty. It feels good.
That's awesome. Love you guys. Appreciate it. We'll see you. I will see you later.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.